Well, greetings to each one. It's good to be here again. Good to be in the house of God. Good to be here with brothers and sisters. I'm blessed this morning and very humbled as I think of a new day. Sometimes we look at it as new beginnings, the start of a new year. A lot of paperwork changes, a lot of things get renewed and things get restarted. So I'm thinking about those things as I thought of today sharing and sharing the things the Lord's doing in our lives and some things that He put on my heart. Think of a brand new year. Gathering with brothers and sisters one more morning. Worshiping God. Was thinking of those things. I've had the opportunity to do that for a number of years in my life. We sat down yesterday with a family and we just talked over life. And I realized that 18, 19, 20 years go by. And they just go by quick and fast. So the thing that I was thinking, we can easily be used to just gathering. We're not gathering just as a social club. This isn't the pinnacle of our Christian life, just we gather every Sunday. This is a blessing. But we're gathering as God's people. We have hard things that happen each year, each day. We have lots of trials and struggles and battles, as we heard this morning. So with those things in mind, the Lord seemed to put a burden on my heart. And the title of the message today I'd like to share is Our Journey Home. If you want a subtitle or a double, there's two thoughts I have. Returning Home. So Our Journey Home or Returning Home. I have a few scriptures I'd like to look at. Before we do that, maybe I was thinking it would be a blessing if we could sing that song. Maybe, John, if you want to sing that song, 880, you could start that song for us.
I will see.
Maybe we could all rise to have a word of prayer. Yes, Father in heaven, as we stand before thee and we worship you, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the things that were shared with us this morning, Lord. The beautiful things of the songs, Lord, guide us. Guide us, O Lord. That song 810, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Lord, through the pilgrim, through this journey, thank you, Father, for guiding us these days. Thank you for your great love to us, Lord, and you're preserving your people. Your desire is to always have a people ready, always have a people following you. And it is our desire this morning to lift up that standard, to lift up that burden that comes from you. Lord, we don't want burdens that you don't have. We want your burdens this morning. So we ask you, Father, to put a burden on all of our hearts together, Lord, to journey home, to stay on that journey. And firstly, we all need to come home. We need to come to a place where we're on the journey home. But Lord, as you see the journey, you see many of us have been on the journey for a little bit of time, very short time in reality. And some have veered off the way. And Lord, help us today to bear a burden from eternity, with an eternal perspective. Lord, humble us. Humble myself before you and ask for your guiding hand and anointing of your Holy Spirit upon our gathering as brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Anyway, I'm sure that probably looks like a maze. But I'll try to make it make sense, so you pray for me. Some thoughts that we have, I'm going to try to use that, and I know that it doesn't make sense at all, but that's kind of the privilege that you have to have some suspense. Try to follow and try to hear our hearts and see if I can, I've had a lot of time. See, I have time. When someone has time to think about something, then you have to try to come along in an hour, and that's not always easy, so I do that too, but so I'll try to do that with grace and to share the things that Lord laid in my heart. So returning home, today I'd like to turn to some very familiar scriptures, Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. I want to look at a few points. I want to look at very familiar scriptures of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, verse 11, we want to look at our first point is the prodigal son coming home. And the second point we want to look at is laboring to stay on the journey. And then the last point is entering our eternal home. And I want to, I don't have a long message, I don't believe, just three different thoughts I've been thinking about. So I'll try to go through this in a timely way. Prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, verse 11, we see the parable of the lost son. And he come in verse 11, and he said, a certain man, Jesus is preaching here, or teaching, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? In verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion on had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. We could continue to read there, just for an illustration. We want to stop there. This is the familiar story of the prodigal son. This is a parable. The son made a decision there. He made a decision on if we go on that verse, the verse there, he says, Father, give me the portion of goods, and I'm out of here. It was a bad decision. It was a very bad decision. But as we look about that, I want to share this as a journey. And so I'm going to try to feel some of this out as I go along. You can bear with me for sake of an illustration. The prodigal son started out as a very, we would put the word self-willed in verse 13. Very selfish. Spiritual destitution. Self-abasement and then starvation. This is not original with me. I found this, so some of you probably saw this before. Here in this side is the journey of this son. A resolution. Repentance. Return. Reconcile. Reclothe. Up here he's rejoicing. Okay, anyway. We'll keep going. Our journey home. One of the first point we look at is a prodigal son. And so, if I would ask some, as I listened to this story all my life, if I would ask the question, I ask myself the question: What is a prodigal son? And some of us, I feel like I have thought, and still, I think it's correct. But he's a rebellious runaway. Just a rebellious runaway, and that was my first thought. So I kind of looked up a prodigal, and the word is in two. It's prod ago. It's like a. It is definitely rebellious, but Anyway, the problem is that if it's just the runaway, or if it's just the son that runs away, that is the only prodigal. How do we resolve that? Anyway, the meaning was a person that drives forth with he lavishes. He just drives forth. He on his desires, giving to extravagance, just goes full blast into things. A man that is wasteful with his strength, with his health and his life, as well as with his money. That's a prodigal son. A prodigal is a waster, a spendthrift. Think about it. You could be in church all your life and be a prodigal son. You can. You don't need to be, but you can be. A prodigal son. Just wasting your life away on nothing. Wasting your life away on nothing would be a nutshell of a prodigal son. I've done that. Let's look at this son's journey a little bit. Verse 11, found it a blessing. Verse 12, the certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, he said, "Father, give me the portion of my goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. You see there in verse 11, for this is a very self-willed man. He said, "Just I want my way. Give me my stuff, Dad, and I'm gone." I think all of us can identify with that. I want my way. Give it my way. I want my way. It's self-willed. The self-will, the will of man, is just strong. We want it our way, and if we don't get our way, we put up a huge fight. We don't always run away from home, but many times a big fight gets put up. But in this case, he was on a journey, and he left home. He left. He was selfish. He was self-willed. Very selfish. And as we see this, you'll see this journey from self-will all the way to the area of starvation in his life. I do say that the reason I share this is a parable. I do not believe that this is the heart of God for man to travel down this road. I do not believe that. I believe that when we come to a shocking reality of self-willed, right here. We are a prodigal son. When our will is on the throne, we don't always have to commit all the bad things. We will find out that we are destitute, and we can humble ourselves. We can follow God in that way. We don't need to go into the pig pen like this man did. But however, I believe the parable is given because this is what man generally does, and Jesus Christ knew that. He knew that that's how man operates, and so that's why he gave the parable. So we want to look at it in that way. The first three words there, they were lived out. Self-willed, selfishness, and then he said, finally, "I'm out. I'm out of here." How many times have you sat? Have anybody in this room have sat at a place where, you know, they're going to run away? I'm getting out of all this trouble. I want to separate myself. He ran away from his father. He separated himself. And then in verse 15, we keep going. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. He began to be in want. And I was thinking about that. You know, prodigal sons this morning are living under the blessing of godly heritage until they run out. Until they run out. And then they join themselves to the citizen of this country. This man here in 15, he joined himself to the citizen of that country. Earlier it says it was a faraway country. I'm not sure. It's just an illustration, I believe. So he joined himself to that as a citizen to that country. Think about it. Think about the way man travels these days. all of us included, when we're not serving God. You know, he come to that citizenship, and we keep reading verse 17 and verse 16, I'm sorry. And he would have fain had filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He started to feel destitute. You know, he was into sensuality. He was lavishing to the fullest of his life, and his money run out. Very real. Very real. Men will, and sometimes in that, when the money runs out, they keep stealing and journeying on and just foolishly moving forward as a prodigal son, just to have one more fun time. It's a very foolish journey. But however, it happens over and over and over and over and over. And it puts a burden on our hearts. We see that. We see that in contrast to the will of God. The prodigal son, he comes to that place in verse 17. And he says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?'" And then he made that great decision, that life-changing decision. And the reason that these things were on my heart, I was thinking that there is a very good possibility that there are prodigal people today among us. Prodigal people. This isn't about against you or against anyone. This is not about people. This is about the call from eternity to God's people. You don't need to be. You may not be starving this morning, and you may not run away from home, but if you're not yielded your will to the Father, you're on a journey to become a starving man someday. Starving man or woman. Because we inherited self-will by nature. And that will is never satisfied. It is a journey that can never be satisfied. You know, and we realize that the longer something gets put off in life, the worse it gets. And sometimes people, in general, we try to deceive ourselves. As long as we can neutralize our life and just sit still, we'll be all right. But the Word of God would teach us that we are not neutral. We're moving forward in life or backward. So as we've seen that, this man come in verse 17, he come to a place of realization. He was starving, and he realized. He realized. And, you know, I know that's practical. No one here this morning is starving. But the idea that if we're self-willed and we're selfish, and we have unholy desires in our heart, I'm out of here, I'm going to do my own thing, that journey ends in starvation. It always does. It always does. So you can resolve that in your life. We can resolve that in our life together, realizing that I'm a self-willed, stubborn, I won't give up, your prodigal son. You can come home. You can come home. That's beautiful to me. I don't mean that. That's bad. That's a criticizing statement. That's beautiful. You can come home as a prodigal son. So I just looked at that a little bit as the prodigal son coming home. The next point was laboring with God. This man made a decision that I will arise, in verse 18, and I will go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And as I started thinking about that, and those of us that have made that decision and made that restitution, made that resolve in life, we know, we can identify, we know what we're talking about. The few short years of my life, as I look over my journey, or look over the journey of mankind, it seems like the Lord did put a burden on my heart for my own life, as I think of this journey, that there are many, I believe, that come to this place and they realize and they say, I will go back and I will go back home to my Father. I do not believe this parable is not about necessarily an earthly father. It's our Father in heaven, coming home to God. Don't go your own way no more. So they made a decision. This man made a decision. And as he did this, I'm sure that he never knew everything that was ahead of him. But he made a decision because he started to think. He started to think instead of thinking insane, he started to think insanity. He started to sit in the pig pen thinking about where he's going. And you know, we live in a world, an ever-pressing world, that wants to put everything before us that don't let us think. We just can't think because we're just flooded with information. You know, some people will sit in a church service and let phones and let everything else cause us to think. But I would say that it's been a blessing and encouragement in my own life, and I would like to say, just put them away and think. Let's think. Let's think about what God has for us. Brother James shared, because we do know that the Lord's going to return. He's going to return. We do know that. So this morning, as we look at this next part, as we journey homeward, as the prodigal comes home, and us that are journeying homeward, I feel like the Lord has put a burden on my heart for this area. Also, I tremble before God because I'm on a journey, just as well as everyone here. We're on this journey home. But the reality is this morning, not everyone's going to make it home. That's what the burden comes from. It's the will of God, but this morning, not everyone's going to make it home. So, if you will allow me this morning, I'd like to just share that burden together, with us all together. Not everyone's going to make it home. The losses, I was thinking about entering this year, that God's will for no one to be lost. God's will is that everyone, not just in this room, but we're here today talking to each other, that they would make it home. That no one would lose their way this day, this year. No one would lose their way. And I don't necessarily mean in this church building, but I mean just moving away, apostatizing away from God, becoming cold, becoming indifferent. That we together could be united as a brotherhood. Be together. That in our generation we could make it home, and that God would have mercy on our next generation, that they were standing up here singing, that they could make it home. This is God's will. And we can't do this in our own agenda. We cannot do this with our own human wisdom. We have to have an eternal perspective. We have to have our eyes set on more than all the feelings of this earth. Because our feelings are hurt. We get damaged. We have things happen that are just not fair. But when we have our eyes set upon an eternal city, an eternal perspective, it does something within the heart of men that sets them aflint toward an eternal home. And it doesn't matter come what may. That's what I would like to encourage us together with today. It doesn't matter, come what may. It's very exciting, it's very encouraging that the God of heaven this morning, that created all things, is the author of this burden. I can't make this up. I can become excited, but God has a burden for this, that his people make it home. It's greater than our burdens. And that's why it's a beautiful thing to help us to look to Jesus, to look to our Lord. Lord, help us. Look at some scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Or I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. A few scriptures at the end, in verse 16. It says, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory, which we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then down into chapter 5, for we know that in our earthly house of this tabernacle, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon with mortality, clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. We could continue reading, but I was blessed with that. If we could together bathe ourselves in an eternal burden, this picture, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How do we do that? I believe that verse there, it says in verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I think of that. I think of that verse gets, I had to think this morning, that verse takes many turns in the road. You know, when men and women desire to obey Jesus Christ, that verse comes alive. They say, remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. But I just want to say that verse is so precious in its place. We walk by faith and not by sight. When someone loves God and obeys God, this verse does not mean that you're walking by sight when you're obeying God and loving Him. This verse means in the context that when we're sitting in this earth, in the kingdom of God, looking to eternity, we do that by faith. We do that by faith and not by sight. So we make decisions in life that most people around us will call us foolish. We make decisions because we're looking forward. We're looking by faith and not by sight. Because if we look by sight, we will just change so we don't get affected. We'll just keep ourselves reconciled with this world. So I'm just blessed by that eternal look from the Apostle Paul. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Proverbs 12:5 says, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Think about the thoughts of the righteous are right. You know, when we look at things, me and my brother were having a discussion the other night, and sometimes we look at something with our spiritual eyes and it looks like this, but you have a world that tells you, no, that might look like that, but that's not what it is. Just think about how foolish and deceitful that is. And I believe the Bible teaches us that's what the proverb teaches us. The thoughts of the righteous are right. Now we need to be careful. We're not allowed to have our own ideas and human wisdom, but to think righteous and have our eyes on eternity is what I would like to make sure I'm looking at, not my own ways, my own thoughts. Selfishness there. The believers that are on this journey, they repented. You know, this man in Luke 15, he realized and he resolved. He said, "This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home." You know, when he got there, he repented. You know, he repented. He said to his father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. That's what he said to his father. And his father forgave him. Praise the Lord. I had to think about it a little bit this morning on this area. I want to share some of these points. A lot of times when individuals come to realization, they think of doing better. Most everyone, Brother Jerry touched that this morning. Make friends. Make friends over here. Go to church. Build self-esteem. You can fill them in. This is things I think about. It's on a journey. Sometimes what happens, you know, there's a journey of this. People do this. They realize they're starving. They do. I've got to do better. But we miss on this journey. They start on this journey, and this journey is not a step where if you're up here, you're better. I don't know how. Sometimes illustrations can be confusing, but this journey is a journey that God wants every man to walk on. Every man. Doesn't matter our backgrounds. So the resolution, there could be steps off of all those resolutions. But I had to think just some things that I was thinking about. Repentance. You know, when someone gets here, they realize, they resolve, they go back, and then they repent. They really repent. Sorry for my sins. We get sorry for our sins, and it's a good thing. And Jesus teaches us that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I had to think this morning, repentance, many times, and a few observations that I have in my short life, a few observations is repentance is a big turn in the road on many, many, many lives, many journeys. Repentance. You know, we say, oh, we got to repent. All right, we got to have certain modes and, you know, flowing rivers. You name it. Think about this repentance, this journey, repentance. Well, we might have been baptized here, but we bring this here, and we just kind of settle. We did repent, but I like to stir us to think that these journeys that we get on at times, it leads us astray when we don't go all the way. It leads us astray. It opens up our life to the enemy. The enemy comes in these areas. And I mean, you can fill in the blanks. He will make repentance and baptism something that it's absolutely not. Repentance is, as I thought of these things, repentance is so beautiful. It's not something I'm knocking. Repentance is so important, so beautiful. In upon repentance, the baptism, you know, think about a situation there. There's repentance, and then there's amendment of life, reconciliation, returning back, reconciling to God and His people. Reconciling back to God and His people. Amendment of life. And many times repentant men and women, there's a lot happening in this journey. There's lots of people, lots of relationships, lots of struggles and trials that are right there on that journey. And God calls us to be reconciled to it. Just repent and give it all up. But many times that doesn't happen because we still have the things of the old journey left in us. We're trying to repent our own way. We're trying to get baptized in our own ways. We're trying to do our own things. But we've repented. We cannot go at that journey. And see, that's why I shared these steps. So hopefully it's making sense. This is not saying that this man is not trying to get on this journey. But I see these things in my life as I observe the landscape of man. I see my own inclinations, my own desires. It's a very critical point. You know, restitution, return. This man returned home in Luke chapter 15. And he returned all the way home. All the way home. You know, on the way back home, he didn't meet someone that told him, you know, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go back and confess all that. You can just start right here and go on. But that's beautiful. He returned all the way home. And when he did that, you know, think about returning home and being reconciled. You know, reconciliation is a big thing. As I think of that, you know, reconciling, everybody likes the word being reconciled. And we hear a lot in the, you know, reconciling to God and His people. And I had to think upon the truth of the Word of God. Because the reason I say upon the truth of the Word of God, because people are on this journey of reconciling. And now we're making separated decisions from the life of this world. We have to. It's the will of God. So we're reconciling. So we say things like, love everyone. And that is very true. It is very true. But this is loving everyone. Calling him on that journey. Calling everyone on this journey. This journey it's a precious journey. It's not easy. No, some of us have went through different things in life. The other thing is, love everyone. You know, that verse that James read, you know, just peace and safety. That resonates with the word reconcile. But the reconciliation that prodigal son was facing was in total enmity against this world. They did not like him no more. They opposed him and they mocked him, I'm sure. And if any time that ever happens to individuals' life, we will be opposed. It doesn't mean that we fight back. It means that we can reconcile to God. And we live reconciled. We live peaceful. We do not live trying to be like them. Be like them to win them. Just think about that. You're being reconciled. This is reconciled upon God's terms. See, I am the church. Me, you see, me is still connected. I don't believe it's hard at all. That's not what my heart is. My burden is that we would be able to identify the journey that we're on. Identify. The big one is God's people. It has been extremely hard for people in general to just reconcile to each other. God's people. Just be reconciled. Giving up our way. You know, this is also not a step-by-step program, and then you're at the top. I think I shared that earlier. That's not what, if you're gathering that, please change that thinking. This is a journey. What I'm saying is I see sometimes a journey where things go away. When God is calling you to obey the next step in life, just do it. Just do it. Don't resist it, because you'll find molds, you'll find people that will support you in your humanistic ideas. I see that in my own life. You know, come on. I remember being told you don't have to do that. You don't have to be that radical. But this, as a young man at 19 years old, I remembered I didn't care what anyone thought of me. I was ready to get rid of everything that violated God, and I was selfish. You know, think about it. Some of us can identify with this. I never run away from home. I was tempted right here. But my mother fed me, prayed for me. I lived in all these things. But I never had to run away from home. I don't know why. Some of you don't have that testimony. But I was a prodigal son. I was separated. How can it be this morning? That's the question we ask. How can it be if someone confesses all their sins? How can it be that they walk off the journey? And that's a serious question. But the reality is it happens. The reality is it happens. And I believe it happens these way, in this form in many ways. It happens in a form where there's something before you that you know you need to face and you need to own up to. And you just find a scapegoat to not do it. So the burden is the enemy to God's people this morning is not the prodigal son. The enemy is the apostasy and the deception of the professing Christian. That's the enemy of God's people. And these people are all Christians. And I drew them that way on purpose. I know it. I don't know how to say that, well, they're not Christians here. But if they've ever experienced repentance from their sin, I want to still bless God for that. There's a way that they can come back home. But many times, wherever people are at, it is extremely difficult to come back home because it takes humility just to come back home on the journey. If you've ever experienced that, you know, and if we find ourselves, I find myself thinking wrong at times. I do. Some of us may find ourselves, you know, getting hung up off the side of the path. That does not mean we're not a Christian, but it does mean to take a good evaluation of where our thinking patterns are going, where our journey is. 2 Peter chapter 2, a few verses. There's people on this journey, the apostatized and deceived. It says in 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 9, it says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bringing not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. They that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves in their own deceivings, while they feast with you." I know This chapter, Epistle of Peter, is a chapter of false prophets. There is always a continued pressure from within, alongside of God's people, to as it speaks further on these scriptures, they promise liberty. False prophets will many times promise liberty. You can have liberty in this, and they themselves are the servants of corruption. There is no liberty outside of the liberation of sin. The liberty is liberty to follow Jesus Christ on this path. It's the only liberty that's available. And that's exciting to me. That's not legalistic or heresy. It's exciting to know that that's the only liberty that we have, to follow Jesus Christ. He is the author. He is the author of eternal life. And I think the best way to walk is to keep it simple and obey the King. That's the author of this life, of this journey. Obey the King. Keep the Holy Spirit alive. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Think about His life this morning. We're reconciled by His death. We're saved by His life. Here He is, Jesus Christ, His life. He's not a cross hung around our necks. He's not a theory. He is not a theory. He is a person, a very beautiful person that calls us to follow Him. And it has nothing to do with selfishness. Brother James shared it very clearly. A selfish man, it's a continued battle to try to follow Jesus. And when we're selfish, we have to give that up. Paul had a testimony in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. We covered some of those scriptures. I think we'll just go on. I would like to look at the last point, entering into our eternal home. If you turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21, that we all want to make it all the way home. The journey is important. That's why we spent time on it. The journey is very important in order to make it all the way home. Revelation chapter 21, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said to me, I am done. He said, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And he goes on and gives the length, he gives the sizes of that city. In verse 22, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." And so this few weeks ago, I was driving down a road, and I had to think of this, some of these verses. Before I share that, and then the last verse says, "There's a condition, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, they that have followed this way." And so I just thought, my journey, your journey, are you longing for the streets of gold with an eternal perspective? What am I longing for? The fruit that bears every month. But I think if we're Christians, we're longing to dine with our Lord Jesus Christ. We're longing to sit at the table that's spread. The Bible does say here in Revelation that its gold is crystal clear. That's how refined this gold is. But I would like us to think eternally that it'll be better than gold. We'll be able to sit at Jesus' table and dine for all eternity. This journey is a journey that is well worth walking, well worth living for. These things were blessings, encouragements in my own life. I know some of these things were warnings. When those things are happening in our life, I don't desire these things just to be my ideas. The King of Kings receives all glory for our life. May He receive glory in this year to come, and may we all make it home, every one of us. Make it all the way home, where we hear those words that Jesus said, "Come, come in. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Come home." So those are thoughts that I had. May the Lord bless each of you. Thank you.